Welcome to the WWE Podcast, a weekly show dedicated to discussing the current pro wrestling product through all of the good.
AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion!
And the bad.
Number 30. The big dog is gonna hunt!
The WWE Podcast reviews every Raw, SmackDown Live, and WWE pay-per-view event, giving an unfiltered opinion, even sharing some favorite wrestling memories.
Oh, Stone Cold Steve Austin thought he'd come out here and give you a little present right from the bottom of my heart.
Oh!
Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Austin just gets stuck in the stunner!
And now, here's your host, the man who doesn't play a bad guy on TV and loves sharing his passion for Roman Reigns' heel turn, Matt Corsell.
Hey guys, and welcome to the WWE Podcast, and welcome to the Great Balls of Fire review. And I am just so happy that we are now past this pay-per-view and I no longer have to say the pay-per-view name, at least for the foreseeable future, and we are moving on to a pay-per-view that I think all of us are looking forward to, and they're not embarrassed to say that we're going to be watching, and that is SummerSlam. Over a month away now, so there's a lot of speculation, a lot going on. Did Roman Reigns turn heel? Is Matt Hardy going to be broken? Did those stitches break him? That's a question floating around. Who is next for Samoa Joe? Who's next for Brock Lesnar? Who's next for Roman Reigns? Who's next for Braun Strowman? There's a lot to get to, obviously. Braun Strowman in that ambulance, and Roman Reigns committing attempted vehicular manslaughter is the topic of the day. We're going to get to all that as well. But you guys can follow me on Twitter if you'd like to reach out to me, suggestions, you'd like to come on the show. You can do so at the WWE Podcast. Just put an underscore between each of those words, and you'll be able to find me, DM me, slide in my DMs, do whatever you like with my DMs. You can also go to WWEpodcast.com, where it is completely redesigned from the ground up. It is much more modernized. It should feel and look a lot better and work a lot better. There may be still a couple of kinks. So if you're like, hey, this thing, you know, this doesn't work on your site, this is outdated, this one, let me know, because I'm trying to find those as well. Let me know as soon as you can, and just tweet me at the WWE Podcast. I'm also on Instagram under WWE Podcast. So search for me there as well. I'm trying to find myself on multi-platforms and put my and position myself and my brand out there. So if you guys like to reach out to me, cool. I'd love to, you know, hear from you and let me know what you think about the show. Let me know what you think about the site. There's a lot of options out there. Everybody seems to have a wrestling podcast these days. A lot of cool and much better shows, I'll be honest. You know, I don't believe that I'm the best game in town, but you know, I feel like that I'm the most concise. I feel like I put out a weekly show that is easy to listen to and easy to follow and passionate. And I try to keep the swearing to a minimum. I know a lot of shows don't, and cool, that's their gig. But you know, if I feel passionately, there'll be the occasional swear word here and there, but that's because I am passionate about the product. This is not a bash WWE podcast, as I always say. So let's get into the Great Balls of Fire review. Enough of me blabbering. Let's get into it. I will not waste your time. And typically I will go through from start to finish what the card was from match one to match five or six, whatever, how many matches there were last night. But I got to start off talking about the top of the news feed here, and that is a couple of items here. Depending on your position, it's probably one of these two. Braun Strowman in the back of the ambulance as Roman Reigns drove it into another semi and rear-ended it into a semi, probably doing about 20, 30 miles an hour. Or it was Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe. I'm going to pick Brock Lesnar, Samoa Joe, and then, of course, we'll get to Braun and Roman, just because this was the last thing I saw on the pay-per-view. I just watched the pay-per-view earlier today. I did not see it as it happened. It was about 12 hours late. Nonetheless, I still got to enjoy it, and this is my feedback on Samoa Joe, Brock Lesnar. Many people are giving it 4 stars. A lot of people are saying it was awesome. A lot of people are saying that it was everything that they hoped it could be. And a lot of people are saying that this elevated Joe to the next level. I'm going to say it's one of those items that I would concur with, and that is that it elevated Joe. We're going to get to all of the other items of why I don't believe this match was everything it could have been, and I don't believe this is their final match. They could return to this between now and WrestleMania, and hopefully if Brock Lesnar re-signs, they could revisit maybe even beyond that. But I think it elevated Joe, even though he lost. Yes, he did not defeat Brock Lesnar, as nobody thought that he would. But this was about Samoa Joe being elevated and putting on a clinic, or putting on a show against Brock Lesnar. That Brock Lesnar and Samoa Joe are at least very close to the same level. And I think they achieved that. Yes, Joe lost. We all saw that coming, but it was just how Joe was going to lose. So, mission accomplished there. My gripe with this match, and again, guys, this is not me bashing WWE. I liked the match. I thought it was very good. What could have been better, because there's always room for improvement, and everybody's got an opinion, and everybody's got a microphone and a voice with social media, is the length of the match. I understand they crammed a lot into 6 minutes. This is not Goldberg, though. I did not like how Samoa Joe dominated the majority of the match, and Brock was able to pull out a miracle F5 and score the victory. So I understand that they need to make Joe look strong and dominate Brock. But it felt like the match never got into past third gear. It felt like it never quite got going. I know it felt more real, and believe me, I was on the edge of my seat too, invested, and I felt with Brock. I felt the emotions, and that's what's awesome about wrestling. These are the kinds of matches that you are proud to be a fan when you're watching these kinds of matches. But I don't feel like they lived up to their full potential. I think they could have gone another 5 to 6 minutes. Maybe 12 minutes. I said 15. 20, I think, is pushing it. I think they could have gone 15 minutes, and they didn't, which I was a bit disappointed about. I think that they could have put on a much, told a better story. You know, I did not like to see Brock just continually get beat down and beat down and beat down. And that's the story they wanted to tell was to elevate Joe. But Joe attacked Brock right off the bat. Yes, he's a heel. But if I'm supposed to believe that he is going to be at Brock's level, he didn't kick out of, you know, more than one F5. But at that point, you could say, well, finishers need to be established as finishers. Fine. I'll take that argument. But Joe did not kick out of more than one F5. Brock basically got a couple of shots, hit an F5, and went and beat Samoa Joe. But the problem I have with it is that Brock never got in any kind of offense. It wasn't a man-to-man, let's see who the toughest guy is in this match. It was just, hey, let's establish Samoa Joe as a legit badass. And cool, they did. But I wanted to see a little bit more out of Brock Lesnar, and I didn't get it. I would like to see these guys go toe-to-toe, and have Joe needs to not attack Brock from behind. I want to see a stand-up, man-to-man, mano-a-mano, let's see what Joe can do against Brock when he doesn't have his back turned. Okay, I know he's a heel, but that to me was the part that go, eh. Okay, and Brock never was able to really get going. So that's the part I had an issue with. Now, where do they go from here? Does Samoa Joe move on? I think he does. I would love to see these two in a rematch and have it be a 10 to 15 minute match. I think they could easily tell that story. But mission accomplished. And I think having Brock keep the belt was the right move. This elevated Joe, as I said, and this was the right move for the company overall. Obviously, if you listen to this, we've probably already seen Monday Night Raw. But it is about 7 o'clock. So Raw has not started yet as I record this. So I obviously all eyes on SummerSlam as we move forward to the second biggest pay-per-view of the WWE's year. And I think clearly big plans for Brock, big plans for Braun, big plans for Samoa Joe and Roman Reigns. So that's what I thought about that match. I enjoyed it, but I felt like I got a little bit cheated on the length, and I know people are saying, well, they crammed a lot into 6 minutes. Yeah, but they did cram a lot into 6 minutes, but I wanted more. And you could say the argument to that is, well, I'm arguing myself, is, well, that's the goal, is to leave you wanting more. Yeah, but Brock may not re-sign after WrestleMania. What if he doesn't? I want Brock to be maximized at this point. I want Brock to squeeze everything you can out of Brock Lesnar, because with Brock, he calls the shots. You don't know if Brock is going to re-sign after WrestleMania 34 in New Orleans. So I would say to that, hats off to both guys. They clearly were very physical. I enjoyed the match, but I feel like I got cheated a little bit on the length and storytelling. And Joe attacking from behind. Just do a stand-up, toe-to-toe, man-to-man match. That's the problem I had with it. Other than that, I mean, I really can't really pick apart much more than that. It felt real. I was engaged on the edge of my seat, and I had emotion for the match, and that is always a positive. Let's get to Braun Strowman and Roman Reigns, which to me was the match of the night. I know that, yeah, I boo Roman Reigns, and yeah, he puts on good matches, but that doesn't mean that I have to cheer for him. His character does not make me want to cheer for him, okay? So, you know, JBL can say, everybody, you know, he puts on the five-star, consistently five-star matches. Yeah, great. He does. He's a very athletic, great, gifted guy, and he does have a personality somewhere in there. But that's where it ends. I don't just cheer for a guy because he performs well. He's not a freaking magician, okay? He's not an actor playing a movie, although you could argue it is a form of some kind of movie telling. I get that, but it's not one dimensional here. You can't just say, well, he puts on great matches, I'm supposed to cheer for him. BS, all right? And Roman Reigns, after losing clean to Braun Strowman in the ambulance match, which I think a lot of people did not expect coming, the more important piece beyond their very, very good match, I enjoyed it very much, very physical, told a good story. Braun no-selling the chair shots was awesome. And then Roman losing, and then Roman afterwards is the real story of backing the ambulance into the semi. And a lot of people are speculating, was that Roman Reigns turning heel? Maybe. You know, but I'm going to say business as usual on Monday Night Raw. Let's see if I'm right. By the time you listen to this, you're going to already know. But I think this may be business as usual. But there's at least the door open now, more than it has been at least in the last 4 to 5 months, for Roman Reigns to take that full turn. Because as a company, how can you say that this is your top babyface to the kids and moms and women when he just committed vehicular manslaughter, or at least attempted to commit vehicular manslaughter? How can you say that? And you could say, well, Braun did the same thing to him, you know, a couple of months ago when he tipped the ambulance over and threw him in the gurney off the loading dock. Well, here's the difference. The difference is, and maybe WWE said, well, you know, Roman just paid back Braun. Okay, well, here's the thing, and it did get Braun over, tipping the ambulance over. But it takes a badass, a monster, to use his hands to actually lift the ambulance and tip it over. It doesn't take any energy to use your foot to press a gas pedal. That's the difference in this. So Roman getting this edge here could be a sign, because I don't know how you can build this guy as the top babyface of your brand that is this sports entertainment crap, which that sports entertainment label is nonsensical to me, but it's pro wrestling. You can't build this guy as your top guy to kids that just saw him attempt to commit vehicular manslaughter and literally try to kill Braun Strowman. You can't. You can't justify it. So it could be the turn, but I would, if my money was on it, I would say that Roman Reigns is going to come out to the typical boos, and he's going to just do business as usual on Monday Night Raw. So we'll have to see if I'm correct about that. Outside of that, guys, I enjoyed, you know, I had Dean Ambrose and The Miz. Dean loses. Okay, fine. I think that is very predictable. I'm fine, and I really hope that this is the final match between the two. I'm ready for both guys to move on. Dean seems to be kind of spinning his wheels. I'm ready for both guys to move on. It has been an endless rivalry that both guys are really just treading water, and I think that Dean would benefit the most by moving along here. It is. I think Dean has lost a lot of, here we go, WWE, ready for the buzzword, momentum in the last few months of just constantly feuding with The Miz, so I'm glad and hopeful. My God, hopeful that they both move on to other programs. Sasha Banks and Alexa for the Women's Championship match. Very physical. I loved it. I liked it. I thought that these two put on a better match than I expected. Having Alexa really intentionally getting counted out, I like that as well. That's a good heel move. Sasha getting her retribution at the end of the match, jumping off the announcer's table, doing the double knees on Alexa. That creates a little heat, and that tells me, or creates a little bit of sizzle into this rivalry, and tells me this is not over. So cool, I enjoyed it, and Sasha standing tall was really the only babyface pop of the night, or at least a victory, if you want to call it that, of the night, other than Brock Lesnar, of course. By the way, if you haven't heard Sasha's Raw talk, she mentions the word heel, and talks about a little bit of backstage politicking with Alexa Bliss. Go check it out, guys. It's almost a little too real, too uncomfortable for me. I don't want to hear heel and babyface, no matter how shoot the interview is. So go listen to it. Raw Talk. All right, let's get to the 30-minute Iron Man tag team match, Hardys and Sheamus versus Sheamus and Cesaro. There's a first quick fall with a bro kick and then double white noise to Jeff. They go up 2-0. It ends 4-3. But, you know, this match was very good. But I think it's the end of the rivalry here, and they both move on. Could this be the beginning of the broken Matt Hardy character? Maybe. I hope so. We're all hoping for it. The delete thing is going to happen one way or the other. All of that. What I didn't understand was the ending of this match. I did not expect the Hardys to win. I expected Sheamus and Cesaro to retain, as most people did. But what was confusing was, even if Jeff Hardy had scored the fall to make it a tie of 4-4, it still would have gone to the champions. A tie would have gone to the champions, and they would have retained. So to me, it should have remained 3-3. Jeff missed the fall by a second to win. So that was a little weird. Even if Jeff scored, okay, they tie, great, but you still don't. You know, in a tie, obviously, it goes to the champion. So that was a little bit confusing. Otherwise, I thought that was a very good match as well. Very heel-heavy night, guys, as many of you saw. So Enzo versus Cass, almost no offense from Enzo here. Cass wins very decisively. This is clearly all about Big Cass. Big Show seems to be rumored next in line for Big Cass for SummerSlam. Cass and his new entrance music, while it's a little generic, at least they're separating him from Enzo, giving him his own personality. I know that Big Cass had said he wants to face Brock Lesnar moving forward. I think that's going to happen, but not right away. I would say maybe later in the year, December, January, something along those lines. He's just not ready quite yet, but I am looking forward to that as well. And on the side note, I do have to say, this is probably the best lineup Brock Lesnar has had to face since he signed his contract. It's not just John Cena and Triple H. He's got so many other guys. He's got Roman Reigns, Braun Strowman, Samoa Joe, line him up, Big Cass eventually. He's got a lot of new and great guys, Finn Balor to work with. And that's why I do believe eventually he will re-sign maybe a 1 to 2 year deal. But in the meantime, he's got a lot of great guys to work with between now and the end of his contract at WrestleMania 34. So Bray and Seth, solid match. Bray wins with a thumb to the eye and Sister Abigail. And since this is the first match of their series, I expected Bray to win. Or I shouldn't say that. I said Seth Rollins would win. But to me, you know, looking back, I don't know why I picked Seth, because this is the first match of the series that is likely going to continue. And typically the first match of the series, the heel is going to win, and he did win in a dastardly way. So maybe this rivalry will heat up a little bit more as we move forward. So guys, quick and dirty review. I'm enjoying, I enjoyed it overall. I'd give it a B minus, C plus. And we'll see. A lot of follow-up here. A lot of questions going into Monday Night Raw. SummerSlam is on the horizon. We're going to be full steam ahead. So, guys, thank you for joining me. Follow me on Twitter at the WWE Podcast. Go to WWEPodcast.com. Until then, guys, I'll talk to you later this week with Raw and SmackDown.